I was just out and about. Thought I'd see if anybody wanted to play some round ball.
You're listening to the Bet Slippin' Podcast's daily NBA show, featuring Jeff Clark from USA Today Sportsbook Wire.
What up, friends? Welcome back to the Bet Slippin' Podcast. It's Monday, January 31st, last day of the first month in 2022. I'm your host, Jeff Clark, breaking down four of the NBA's eight-game slate tonight. Again, it's Monday, January 31st. I have four best bets that I can give you guys today. Hopefully, I can finish this month strong. I was 3-0 Saturday, special Saturday NBA bet slip and podcast. Cashed all my bets there, moving my monthly record to 31-25. I was 10-8 last week, so ending on a positive note after seesawing throughout most of the week. Hopefully, we can keep that good momentum going and cash in our four best bets. End this month 10 games above 500 in our betting record. So that's what we're looking at. I'm kind of swinging for the fences here. I didn't force any of these bets. I actually have a couple player props or a player prop that I would like to add to this, but I'm not sure if that player's prop is listed. We'll kind of talk about it as we're handicapping the games. First, let me shout out the sponsor of this podcast, Tipico Sportsbook. They're a global sports betting leader that's not live in New Jersey and Colorado. You can make your favorite sports more interesting with Tipico's fast and easy mobile sportsbook app. New users from this podcast will enjoy a special welcome bonus. You can get that bonus today at usatodaybet.com/podcast. That's usatodaybet.com/podcast. Terms and conditions do apply. You must be 21 or older, so please see Tipico's website for details. If you have a gambling problem, please call 1-800-GAMBLER for New Jersey and 1-800-522-4700 for Colorado. Please remember to gamble responsibly. Okay, so eight-game slate in tonight's NBA, or eight games in tonight's NBA slate. And I was 3-0 Saturday. I hit with the under 229.5 in the Wizards-Grizzlies game. That was a no-doubter. I got a little lucky. Actually got very lucky hitting the over 208.5 with Raptors Heat. I actually got closing line value on all three of my Saturday winners. So I was seeing the board correctly, but again, I got lucky. The Raptors Heat got over, finished 124-120, went to triple overtime. It was trending over pretty comfortably in the first half, but then that game died out in the second half and we needed overtime to cash that. As a matter of fact, one overtime wasn't good enough to cash in the closing total. It would have closed, the first overtime would have cashed the total that I gave out, the 208.5, but I think it closed at like 212.5. Either way, that covered. So the over hit, and then we cashed our third best bet when we took over 12.5 points for Patty Mills. James Harden was announced out for the Brooklyn Nets Golden State Warriors game, which Patty Mills hit over on his player prop for. He got way more shots because James Harden was missing that game. Patty Mills actually started out, I think, 0-5 from the field, but finished with 21 shots. Hit, I think, 6 3-pointers. That was a no-doubter as well. So cash on 2 no-doubters. Got lucky for a third and final win, but 3-0 Saturday. I'm not going to complain. Also not going to get too full of myself. No, we got to continue to grind, and hopefully we can scratch out a winning Monday and finish with a sick January record. But let's get on to the handicapping. Actually, let me give you my best bets first. I'm going under 210.5 in the Pelicans-Cavaliers game. I'm taking the Memphis Grizzlies, which are now -3.5. We'll talk about that, obviously, in a second. I'm going to go with the Memphis Grizzlies -3.5 when they visit the Philadelphia 76ers. I'm going to take the Raptors +1.5 when they head to Atlanta to play the Hawks. And I'm going to take the Boston Celtics -4.5 hosting the Miami Heat. All right, let me get to the breakdowns of these bets. So the first game, Pelicans at the Cavs, tips off at 7 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. Cavs are favored 7.5, total sitting at 210.5. We're going on the under 210.5. The Pelicans have three starters that are currently listed as questionable on the injury report. Point guard Devontae Graham, Brandon Ingram, and center Jonas Valanciunas. Obviously, you know, they play three different positions. They occupy three different levels or spaces on the floor for New Orleans. So if all three of them can't go, that would significantly hurt New Orleans' offense at each level. But if Ingram and Valanciunas play, then New Orleans will probably play more half-court basketball. They tend to slow it down when those two are on the floor. And if they don't play, then the Pelicans will be missing, A, their starting point guard with Devontae Graham, and then their first and second leading scorers in Jonas Valanciunas and Brandon Ingram. So even if they play, I kind of like the pace to be slowed down because these styles make fights, and both teams play at a bottom 10 pace as it is. Also, both teams have a top 10 rebounding rate and are top 10 in second chance points per game allowed, and above average in paint points per game allowed. So these teams rebound the ball really well. They don't give up paint points, and they don't give up second chance points, and they play a pretty slow pace. Also, there's some couple trends, just recent trends back in this, but New Orleans is 1-5 to the under in their last six games as an underdog, and the Cleveland Cavaliers have cashed four straight unders in their last four as a home favorite. Also, there's been some sharp line movement headed south of the total. The Pelicans Cavaliers open with a 212 point total, and it's been steamed down to the current number, which is again 210.5 minus 112. Still think there's value in this number. We're going to take the under 210.5 minus 112 in the Pelicans Cavaliers game. So let's book that and add that to our bet slip. Next game, I'm going with the Memphis Grizzlies visiting the Philadelphia 76ers, two of the best teams in the league in this month. Both of them have played very well recently. Memphis is 35-17. 76ers are 30-19. Grizzlies went from a 3.5 point underdog, which is where I got it last night. I actually sprinkled on the money line as well. I wrote this game up for Sportsbook Wire yesterday, and it got edited and republished or published today with the Grizzlies as a favorite, I believe. Actually, it might have got out before news of Joel Embiid being taken out of the lineup surface, which really ended up swinging this line. Joel Embiid, I guess, is going to be sitting Monday against the Grizzlies because he's resting. So Grizzlies went from a 3.5 point underdog to a 3.5 point favorite. I would take the 3.5, so that's why I'm giving it out. I'm, you know, putting my record on the line for this game. I don't think the 7 point swing, 6.5 point swing for Joel Embiid is enough. Memphis has a couple strength on edge weaknesses over Philly, including offensive rebounding rate and fast break offense. And Memphis is better against good teams than Philly is. Philly's just 4-7 straight up versus top 10 teams. They have a -7.3 adjusted net rating, whereas Memphis is 13-8 against the spread versus winning teams. Also, Philly's offense struggles. Or Philly struggles against top 10 offenses. They're 8-9 straight up with a -4.5 ATS margin. Memphis actually is 7th in adjusted offensive rating. They have a pretty dynamic attack. They have a bunch of ball handlers that can score off the dribble. Now that Bane's coming back and perhaps Tyus Jones is able to play today and lead Memphis's second unit. But Memphis also offensive rebounds at a high rate, and they get the second most second chance points per game, whereas Philly's 22nd defensive rebounding rate and 18th in second chance points allowed per game. Obviously, Philly's going to be missing their best defender and best offensive player, Joel Embiid, who's actually a front runner for MVP. Joel Embiid, his on-off net rating is +9.8 points per 100 possessions, which is the best on Philly, one of the best at his position, the 90th percentile of bigs and adjusted on-off net rating. So the loss of Embiid or the absence of Embiid is going to loom really large in this game, and I'm willing to lay the 3.5 points with the Grizzlies. a player prop that I was looking at in this game. Let me get over to Tipico's odds now, because on my local book, this player prop, or pretty much all Philadelphia 76ers player props, were taken off the board once news of Joel Embiid rest day hit, once that broke. So apparently on Tipico, you can still get Tyrese Maxey over 1.5 made three-pointers, which is at plus 103. That's a number that I would definitely, I would bet. I'm trying to get it on my local book, so hopefully they'll list player props eventually. But on Tipico, if you're in New Jersey and Colorado, obviously if you're not, or if you play with other books, you got to check those books out. But I like Tyrese Maxey over 1.5 made three-pointers at plus 103. I would play it up to minus 150, actually. And I'd be willing to bet over 2.5 made three-pointers now that Joel Embiid isn't going to be playing in the game. Maxey's went over 1.5 made three-pointers in 6 of his last 10 games. He made 2 of 2 in his first Memphis-Philly head-to-head meeting this season. He's been lights out from the three-point line this month, shooting 48%. Maxey shoots better at home from behind the arc, 44% compared to 36% on the road. And Memphis is actually 24th in defensive three-point percentage. Also, no Embiid means those shots should go elsewhere, and Maxey could be just chucking a couple three-pointers because of no Embiid and added usage. So I'm going to take the Grizzlies -3.5. I also would be looking at the Tyrese Maxey over 1.5 three-pointers made. So check that out in your local books. Next game, I'm taking the Raptors +1.5 for visiting the Atlanta Hawks. Toronto has edges in ball security, pick and roll defense, and transition basketball. Atlanta actually plays a lot of pick and roll offense for Trae Young, but Toronto's got the second best pick and roll defense versus ball handlers. Also, Toronto plays at a very high rate of gets out in transition at a very high rate, and they're third in fast break points per game, whereas Atlanta has the worst defensive efficiency in transition in the NBA. Also, both are really good at handling the rock or not turning the ball over. Both have a top 5 offensive turnover rate. But Toronto has the best defensive turnover rate, or forces the highest rate of turnovers, whereas Atlanta is 28th or has the third worst defensive turnover rate. So Toronto should get more possessions just through ball security and applying on-ball pressure. And more possessions usually equals more points. So Toronto's actually also very good versus elite offenses. Atlanta's offense, I think, is second adjusted offensive rating, but Toronto's 6th in adjusted net rating versus top 10 offenses, and they have the 5th best ATS margin versus top 10 offenses. Also, Atlanta struggles on short rest. They're 5-7 against the spread when playing with a rest disadvantage at a -2.9 ATS differential, and 3-5 against the spread on the second of a back-to-back with a -3.6 ATS margin. Also, the last thing, Fred VanVleet, the starting point guard of the Toronto Raptors, is 6-1 all-time versus Trae Young. And I think he's going to be motivated for this matchup even more so because Trae Young was just announced as a starter in the All-Star game, and Fred VanVleet's having an amazing offensive season, or amazing season himself. He should make the All-Star game as a reserve, but I think between his head-to-head dominance over Trae and the fact that he probably feels as though he's a better player, I mean, all these guys have massive egos, rightfully so, I think he'll be motivated to show out against Trae. And if VanVleet can beat Trae or get the better of him in this matchup, then Toronto should win this game because they're better at wing, they're better at rebounding, then they have those strength on edge weaknesses that we've already outlined. So I'm going to take the Raptors +1.5 visiting the Atlanta Hawks. And then the final game that I like here, I'm taking the Boston Celtics -4.5 as they host the Miami Heat. Miami Heat's obviously one of the best teams in the league, and Boston's been pretty inconsistent. They are 26-25 though, so slightly above 500, fighting to get out of the play-in spot in the Eastern Conference, but Boston matches up very well with Miami. They clubbed them earlier this year. I think they beat them by 18 points or something in their first head-to-head this season. But Boston's front court of Al Horford and Robert Williams kind of neutralizes Bam Adebayo. I mean, Bam Adebayo is definitely the best of those three players, but Horford, is a cagey veteran, and Robert Williams is super athletic. So I think those guys combined kind of mitigate or neutralize Bam Adebayo. Also, Tatum and Brown are having Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, the wings for Boston, are having their best shooting months, and both of them are just kind of too much for Jimmy Butler to handle, the all-star wing for the Miami Heat. He's sensational defensively. That's what I mean to say. But he can only focus his attention on one of those guys. And actually, Tatum's 6-3 straight up in the regular season versus Butler in their 7 career head-to-head meetings. Jaylen Brown and Tatum are averaging a combined 50 points per game this month. They're each having their best true shooting percentage month or shooting month this season in January. And Butler might not even play. He's currently listed as questionable. So if he actually plays, we're going to lose a little bit of line value. But if he doesn't play, we could be gaining some line value in either way. I think the Celtics are a good play at -4.5. They're actually better than the record indicates. They have a -4.2 win differential, meaning they should have 4 more wins. They actually have a better shot quality differential according to cleaningtheglass.com and shotquality.com. Also, Boston has been slightly more efficient than Miami this month. They have a +7.8 adjusted net rating, whereas Miami has a +5.9 adjusted net rating. Also, Boston gets up to play good teams at home. They're 5-2 straight up at home versus top 10 teams in adjusted net rating. They have the second best adjusted net rating against these top 10 teams at +6.8 points per 100 possessions, and the third best ATS margin at +4.4. One basketball-based like reasoning I like Boston here is that they actually can get a bunch of easy points at the foul line, and I have much more faith that they can get to the foul line than Miami, even though Jimmy Butler is one of the best foul-drawing wings in the league. But Boston's 7th in offensive free throw rate, and Miami is actually 26th in adjusted defensive free throw rate. So I'm taking the Celtics -4.5. Just a quick recap of my best bets. I'm going with the under 210.5 with the in the Pelicans Cavs game. I'm taking the Grizzlies -3.5 laying points versus the Philadelphia 76ers. I'll take the Raptors +1.5 as they visit the Atlanta Hawks. And I'm going the Boston Celtics -4.5 as they host the Miami Heat. I also got a lean on over Tyrese Maxey 1.5 three-pointers made. I like it, but I just can't give it out because I don't think it's a widely available prop with the current injury status of Embiid, and most books taking Philly's player props off the table. But if you can find over Tyrese Maxey 1.5 three-pointers in that Philly Memphis game, then I take that. But that's your Bet Slippin' Podcast, final one of January. Hopefully I can end on a winning note. Best of luck, whether you fade or follow me, and I'll talk to you guys tomorrow. Peace.
Thought I'd see if anybody wants to play some round ball.
You're listening to the Bet Slippin' Podcast daily NBA show featuring Jeff Clark from USA Today Sportsbook Wire.